So since none of my bosses are here, I'm basically CEO of Reebok. I was like, Rich, don't tell my boss.
Don't tell my boss.
No joke, I hit record right when you said that, so I got that all.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Blair Morrison.
And I'm Ben Alderman. We're joined by the owner and CEO of Reebok, Jared Davis.
So nice you to join us, Jared. Appreciate that.
So nice
you
to check
out your busy schedule. A lot of paperwork, a lot of flights.
Yeah, so what's your actual title at Reebok, Jared?
Official title is Manager of Asset Marketing.
Asset marketing for the CrossFit arm of Reebok?
Correct, yeah. The training BU underneath the Reebok umbrella and specific to the CrossFit business.
But back once upon a time, you were a CrossFit Games athlete.
Yeah, that was back when you could drink beer and eat chicken wings and weigh 180 pounds, being 6 foot tall, and go to the games.
I remember those days.
What year was that? Because that's the kind of Blair's. He's still that height, right? He's still that height, still that weight.
Yeah. That's still about pretty much what I am. That's why I'm not at the games.
Will you still drink beer and eat chicken wings?
I had a beer last night.
There you go.
And we're at the Mayhem for Mustard Seed competition fundraiser. So yeah. We'll see how it goes today, I guess. But
yep.
That was back in, what, 2011?
2011.
Out of the southeast.
Out of the dirty south.
With crazy sunglasses.
Always.
Hey, you still had to qualify. That's still in the open era, so that's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's not bad.
JD was legit.
Yeah. How'd you do in the open this year?
My goal was first page in the southeast region. I think after all the people either declined or went team, I shuffled up, I think.
So that's still really good.
I think I'm top 60, yeah.
Yeah, that's still really good.
Yeah, that's solid.
Especially for a guy controlling all of the Reebok empire.
Yeah. No comment.
All right, so we're here at the Mustard Seed fundraiser that Rich runs every year. We're in Cookeville, Tennessee. Rich obviously is kind of like the flag bearer for the Reebok brand, mm-hmm. as far as athletes go. Talk about some of the things that you guys do with athletes, either in partnership or as sponsors, and kind of what this event means specifically.
Yeah, this is an event that Reebok supports each year. To your point, Blair, obviously because of Rich's involvement with the event. And so we're here every year to support this event. But in general, any athletes that we have, is the whole goal of any partnership with an athlete is to not only elevate the athlete's brand, but also it be a benefit to the brand, benefit to Reebok. And that's how it's always been. You know, I haven't – the position that I'm in – I didn't start until 2013. So, but before I was in the position that I'm in, I can't speak for how things were and how relationships were managed and how different things that we were doing with athletes were. But since I've kind of been involved, that's always like the.
But you were a Reebok sponsored athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of.
That's how it all started.
You can speak to it from the other side, at least.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it definitely helps to have someone that's kind of more on the athlete side in a big corporation like Reebok or, you know, whatever corporation that you're working for in the sports marketing world. Just because, people are busy and sometimes little things aren't thought about. But, you know, in the athlete's mind, it's like top priority. So, no, it definitely helps.
Yeah, so you talked about, like, just with the athletes, like trying to partner with them to help them out but also elevate Reebok's brand. Mm-hmm. Is that something you're encouraging the athletes to do, or is that something that – you know, somebody like Rich, he just kind of comes up with the idea and he approaches you guys, or somebody else, you know, comes up with an idea like that?
No,
how does that work?
It's always collaborative. Like, I'm always trying to think of ways to, especially for maybe an athlete who maybe just doesn't have a lot of experience, whether it's trying to build their own brand or just being more public and doing things that can help them, whether it's a media opportunity or a photo shoot or something like that. I try to, not only is it part of my job, try to get people involved with what we're doing, but it's also an educational process. You know, I've learned a lot since I've been in this position, and I try to educate athletes as much as I can on different ways that they can not only improve their brand and learn some things that may extend past their competitive career, you know, ways that they can set themselves up for success.
I know some of our listeners want to know the difference between like a standard Reebok event from an athlete's perspective and a classic event.
What do you mean?
From an athlete's perspective. So, like, for example, like the first classic event that I was a part of was Classic Barca 2011.
Oh, you're talking about classic events now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in your mind, what separates a a good time, a Reebok event?
I think what sets a classic event. How you can label an event a classic event is the people and the vibe.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
Jared. You like that?
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're a part of the classic. You've experienced some classic.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say Blair Morrison's presence was the separator between a classic event.
It has a lot to do with it. Heavily weighted.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Heavily weighted.
So you said that the athletes, you know, it's always collaborative, and you're always trying to make sure you help the athletes build their brand, which is kind of cool because Reebok is the biggest name that's attached to CrossFit as far as companies go. And so for you to take that, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of companies out there helping athletes out on that level.
I mean, yeah.
This is what I see.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about where the sport has grown from back when, you know, 180-pound Jared Davis was at the games, you know, just from a pure, like, social presence and marketing standpoint, athletes are – they really have an opportunity to market themselves in a way where they can obviously stay true to what they believe in and what their values are, but also – open the doors to opportunities that may extend.
Rich Froning just delivered you a jump rope, man.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate that.
That's actually for our whole team because none of us brought a jump rope.
It's a backup. It's
a little short.
Well, Blair, he said, what if our rope breaks? I was like, I don't know.
That's right. I brought a...
Yeah, I know. We're on the same heat.
Wait, are you doing this competition? What the F, bro?
Who do you think made the workouts?
Yeah, you already practiced all this stuff.
Yeah, his name's on it.
Wow.
We didn't have Rich mic'd up there, but that just changes the whole landscape of things.
Well, he created the workouts.
Right. Yeah. So obviously he should go ahead and do them.
Yeah, he is.
And mop everybody up.
Yeah, he's won the past 2 years. He's good at winning, though. I mean, CrossFit, I don't even know that. He's really good.
He's won this the last 2 years?
Yeah.
He's only winning because he created the workouts.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
it
why.
It has nothing to do with his ability to move a barbell and
Did Frazier end up on the same team as him?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Well, Jared was talking about the opportunity athletes have.
So athletes right now, they have in the CrossFit world, I mean, it went from what the heck are those people doing? I don't even know what CrossFit is to like, okay, some of the athletes in the sport, they have a social presence that rivals major sports, athletes that are, you know, in TV commercials.
You mean like social media presence?
Yeah, social media presence. And I mean, that's not everything, but it goes a long way whenever you – think about marketing as a whole, and then even traditional marketing where you see athletes in print or digital or on billboard or something like that. It goes a long way to have the ability to reach so many people very fast, and athletes nowadays have an opportunity to build something that can outlast their competitive career if they're smart.
Right, which is a huge deal because nobody can compete forever. And it's like, how do you take advantage of, like you said, a potential market, right? That's pretty much what your social media presence is. It's a potential market.
Yep.
Which athletes do you see out there that are really actually taking advantage of it, and which ones do you see are kind of just posting cool pictures and getting a lot of likes?
I'd say that some of the ones are...
Take Rich out of the equation.
I love the idea that to actually name people who are doing a good job and then also name people who are doing a bad job.
I'm not going to name...
Yeah, that's really
good.
Here's
the deal.
I'm just name people doing a good job.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not an expert. Like, I'm not by all means not like the, hey, if you're not doing this and, you know, you're horrible or you've got some improvement.
You got social media people for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not running the social media, you know, game here. But just based on my experience, you can just see that, you know, Rich being one of them... Camille does a really good job. Julie does a really good job. Julie Fouché.
What type of stuff are they doing to take advantage
of
it?
They're, you know, whether it's maybe they offer some type of a program where they can have some subscribers.
Gotcha.
And they're helping people. You know, there's an interaction. It's not a one way street. You know, they're interacting with their fans on maybe it's based on performance or maybe it's just some goals. They just want to lose some weight and. You know, they've got some of the fittest women and men on the planet to help them, and it's cool. Julie's just recently, in this past year, she's got a podcast where she's...
Yeah, like a wellness podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so she's starting to dive into this territory that's getting outside of CrossFit specifically and about health and wellness and longevity, and some of the people that she's interviewing aren't just competitive athletes. You know, she's... And that's, I mean, if you know anything about Julie, that's her main goal is to, you know, for one day somebody that's sick to go to the doctor, and he prescribes, you know, constantly very functional movement executed high intensity,
right,
as opposed to, you know, just take a bunch of pills and you'll be all set, you know, more preventative. So and there's quite a few others, you know, on the men's side, Dan Bailey does a good job. Last I heard, he's probably one of the most well-liked guys, and also because he takes advantage of the opportunities that he has. He lives in California. He's close to CrossFit HQ. He's built up a really good relationship with those guys, so that's why you see him in a lot of media videos,
right,
that come out, is because he's taking advantage of some of these opportunities. You know,
he's getting put out on media that's not his own creation.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Speaking of that relationship that Dan has with HQ, what's the relationship on, like, the day-to-day with HQ and Reebok? Because we see the names always side-by-side. So day-to-day, what happens? How do you guys interact?
Yeah, like, I think with any relationship or partnership, in the beginning, early stages, there's always, I would consider, like, growing pains where, you don't really know on a personal level each person that's involved with the team super well. So you always, you know, there's always a little bit of a give and take there, but I think 5 years in, everything is super great. Like our small team that manages the relationship with CrossFit, I would say that it's better than it's been ever. Like the past couple of years have been really great, and we work a lot closer together on different, not only events and stuff, but you know, different. Maybe it's some type of generated content, or you know, for instance, we were just at the Athlete Summit in January, the Reebok Athlete Summit, and last year, in January 2015, CrossFit sent a media guy. He's like, hey, I'm just going to come down, and you got all these athletes all in the same spot, you know, and we have a little meeting of the minds, and we talk about goals and what we want to accomplish, and they're fully there to support and create some content around what the athletes are doing, and we did the same thing this past year, and that stuff hasn't happened before, you know, with the partnership.
Is there like a HQ guy who's at Reebok on a regular basis and likewise a Reebok guy over at HQ?
I wouldn't say all the time, but yeah, there's frequent visits. My boss, Mike Kratochel, he heads out to California quite a bit, and then some of the legal team from CrossFit CFHQ, they'll swing by probably once a quarter to Reebok and just chat through things that are happening, talk about ways that we can improve, whether it's presence on e-com or product or different initiatives that are happening. So yeah, it's relationship's really good.
Is there any sense of like pressure at Reebok, you know, with the growth of CrossFit, the growth of other competitors like Nike,
yep,
who are coming into the space? Like, you guys, like you said, you're 5 years in with the agreement with CrossFit Games,
mm-hmm,
as the title sponsor, like,
yep,
pretty much the flag bearer for the CrossFit movement,
mm-hmm,
from a commercial standpoint. You know, it's kind of like this thing is peaking now in interest. Like, do you guys feel like the burden of expectation, like, hey, we got to push this thing even further? Or, you know, what is that like? What's that conversation like at the company?
Like, right now, and ever since the beginning, the goal has always been to elevate CrossFit and to get more people to experience it. Because we've all seen the results of what it can do for somebody, whether it's physically, mentally, socially. And that's always been essentially at the tip of the spear, and that's always been the focus. Not only from an exposure standpoint, but also from a product standpoint. You know, the CrossFit mark is on all the product, so there's a lot of
Delta.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The CrossFit word. You know, it's on all the Reebok CrossFit product, and so there's always this constant pursuit of excellence in whatever it is that we do with the partnership, whether it's elevating the brand, the experience for a fan at regionals or the Open or the Games or doing what we can to support affiliates, and then obviously in my world specifically is what we can do to help athletes. And so I would say from the very beginning, it's always been this kind of, like you said, you always want to elevate things and highlight things. But from a timing standpoint, it's like you said, we're 5 years in and other brands are realizing that there may be an opportunity in this functional fitness, this CrossFit world, this competing in exercise essentially, and some of the things that all these athletes are doing, it's unreal. And so they feel
right,
like there may be an opportunity there. And for us, I think it's good to be aware of the environment that we're in and some of the things that are happening around us, but also the focus still needs to be on what we're doing. Like, we can always do things better. You know, I think that if we worry too much about what other brands are doing in the space, we kind of lose that original focus of why we're doing it. Why is this partnership exist?
Right. Now, as an affiliate owner for me, I look at the growth of the brands, mm-hmm. and I attribute a lot of the growth in CrossFit to Reebok coming mm-hmm. online 5 years ago. And that's a great thing for us. Mm-hmm. But like one of the things that I know Ben and I talk about off air a lot is
Bring that up.
Okay, don't bring that up. No, the
oh, you're not talking about that.
The CrossFit okay. as a brand is very like organic and grassroots.
Yep,
and they don't like what I mean. HQ doesn't really have a marketing strategy to grow the brand other than the CrossFit Games. So the CrossFit Games gets exposure. The CrossFit Games that you see like these great commercials that we all love about like your everyday person, your grandmother, your teenager doing CrossFit, yeah. but that stuff is never publicly viewed outside the CrossFit sphere, mm-hmm. right? I look at CrossFit.com, the CrossFit Games. These are like insular viewing opportunities mm-hmm. for the most part. There's mm-hmm. some people that view the CrossFit Games outside, but yep. it's a lot of CrossFitters that watch that stuff. Yep. And so they see this kind of a great PR mm-hmm. message. And like my question to HQ has always been, when are we going to try to get that message outside? Mm-hmm. And their answer has always been, it'll get there eventually. You know, it's just going to yeah. seep out.
Yeah, like when's there going to be a Super Bowl commercial of, you know, like a 50-year-old lady, yeah. you know,
like
carrying
her own
groceries in?
Some of the
in.
Messages that we all see from a digital standpoint.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
on TV. I don't know.
On TV, on radio, whatever. And it's not coming from them.
Yeah.
But, like, is it coming from Reebok? Because I could see that being like, yo, 5 years in, yo, we need more people doing CrossFit to yeah. buy shoes, to buy apparel, to whatever.
Well, I think that if you look at CrossFit as a whole, and I mean, obviously I don't work for CrossFit. I don't. What I'm saying isn't like a representation of what their strategy is, because
no, of course
I don't know. But you know, if you look at how fast CrossFit grew, you know, to your point, CrossFit started, you know, on a dusty sand lot on a ranch, and now they're at the StubHub Center. You know, the what they've been able to do to kind of catch up with the growth, and you've noticed it really in the past 3 years, to where they've, you know, whether it's bringing more people to have more of an infrastructure to support everything that they're trying to do from a storytelling standpoint, whether it's digital or print or whatever, they've done a really good job of that. And I think that you're starting to see more from them. They just revamped their the main site page, like that we've all
right.
looked
yeah.
the first time we all looked at the website, we were like, I don't even know Whoa. What this is.
Yeah,
it's not a blog.
Yeah, right.
Didn't
so
know that was coming.
Yeah, that you know they're doing a lot of stuff to help improve that. And I think this past year's open is indicative of what they're trying to do to kind of reach more towards the normal person that wants to be fit and have goals. Like, to your point, the CrossFit Games has always been this pinnacle landmark. Like, everybody shines the light on the CrossFit Games. But if you just look at what they did this past year in the Open, where it...
who's watching it is
what's
my
that?
Point. Like, who's doing the Open? Who's looking at the Open? It's CrossFitters.
Yep.
People that are already indoctrinated for the most part.
Yep.
At least they're going to a gym.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like... Like, we're in Cookeville here in Tennessee, right? And
yeah.
we drive past... You know, a million fast food restaurants off the highway.
Yeah.
There is a huge number of people that are not even working out, let alone
yeah,
doing
yeah.
CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
Everything that HQ does, and they do an amazing job of like kind of like germinating this amazing community mm-hmm. vibe, but it's all within the community.
It's not amplified, is what
it's
you're saying.
It's not amplified, you know? And like we were saying, from the ranch to the StubHub Center, dude, that's a Reebok thing.
Yeah.
Reebok brought it. Yeah. It, to
it
the
didn't hurt, center. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, word of mouth goes a long way, right? But
because yeah, the word is getting out, right? Because otherwise yeah. it would have just been the people in Santa Cruz who started it, right? So it's getting out by word
right.
of mouth.
It's
slowly,
getting out, but just
right?
it's a slow growth.
But
yeah.
I think that the reason why Blair and I had this conversation, and this is where we can loop you in on this, is because you probably hear this stuff too, is we hear a lot of the negative stuff that mm-hmm. CrossFit does, right? Like, we don't mean the company. We mean, like, people getting hurt or things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so people are always like, oh, man, CrossFit just hurts people. CrossFit just does this. Why don't we put out a message, or why doesn't Reebok or CrossFit put out a mm-hmm. message that's, like, showing the other side of that? You know what I mean? Combating
yeah.
that voice from outside,
right?
That's telling other people things. Why don't we have another voice saying, hey, maybe that's not the whole story.
Right. The community haters are going to hate, right?
Yeah,
and that's
always
how it
be
is.
Haters, yeah.
But it's always nice. As an affiliate, I'm
don't
like,
I know.
I can't battle that hate on my own.
Yeah.
I don't have the resource. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell my affiliate agent who calls and asks me how everything's going. Like, hey, we would love to see some positive PR to, like,
yep.
help us out here. And I see that from Reebok. Mm-hmm. That's like, because you guys, I think that's part of your goal is to, like you yeah. said, to grow CrossFit, get more people doing it. But I know, like, just from my conversations with you know, the central brand at HQ, like, they're taking a more, like, organic approach to that growth. And I don't know.
Maybe that's something that's already in the works right now. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, I agree. More information would be better to the general population.
Right.
But maybe that's already in the works right now.
Like, the corporate wellness stuff at Reebok headquarters is a great example.
Yep.
You guys changed the entire culture of your organization,
yep.
of your company,
yep.
because people started doing CrossFit. They're yep. meeting at the box. You got people like from – I remember when I first went out there, Hasselbeck was telling me, hey, we got like, you know, 15, 20 guys go play basketball,
yeah.
you know. And now it's like 1,000 people go to the CrossFit box.
Yeah, there's 1,000 employees and I think 500 are
500,
regular.
Yeah. Regular, yeah. like everyday people,
yeah.
which is incredible.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
I don't know. I kind of want to shift gears here. Just like for you as a athlete relations, sometimes I have a tendency to generalize athletes. You know, I paint them with broad strokes, kind of like in terms of like how we are as people, yep. the things we care about. Is there anything like in dealing with like probably some of the best athletes in the world that you would just say athletes tend to be, you know, narcissistic or whatever, you know what I mean? Just like anything that you would say, or is it at this point have you gotten to know them so well that you're like, man, these guys are all just very different but very cool
yeah
people.
They're all just normal people, man. Like, they're all like I would say that some of the stuff that you see, whether maybe it's in an interview or maybe it's around an event or something like that, if something it's doesn't seem right to you or something, well, maybe it's like immediately after an event or something like that, but for the most part, All the athletes, I mean, you guys probably know better than anyone that they're all just normal people. Sure, they just may happen to be super fit and super successful, but they're all normal people. They're husbands, they're wives, some are dads, some are moms. You know, they're normal people that have just worked really hard to achieve the goals that they want, and it just so happened to be that they're really happen to be really good at, you know, moving a bar, and they're super fit, and they just kind of found themselves in the right place at the right time. And
we, almost all of our guests and athletes, we talk about kind of their family life
yeah.
and their businesses outside
yeah.
of the sport. Does that go into kind of a lot of your job, like managing people's
yeah.
families
for
and
sure.
businesses? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the better I can get to know, any partner or athlete or ambassador that we have, the better that I understand like what can help them. Right. Like we talked about in the beginning, that's a big part of what I do is to try to think of ways that I can support them. Or maybe even things that they haven't even thought about. You know, like a lot of our partners have kids. So, you know, sometimes I'll just send them some, like a kid's care package. Oh, man, this is cool. I didn't even know you guys made kid stuff. You know what I mean? So, like, little stuff like that. And
who's got the coolest kid?
Coolest kid.
On the squad.
I can't say that. I can't answer that. And I'll be crucified.
Who are some of the cool kids?
Who are some of the cool kids? I mean, like, so Holmberg's kid. Storm.
Holmberg's kid, yeah,
like an unbelievable.
Storm's
dude.
A stud. I probably know the Sturette's kids the best. But there's so many that do have kids. Like Hackenbruck's got kids. Cal Kasperbauer's got kids. You are fresh, new to the squad
a
here.
Kid.
Yeah, Ben's got kids.
Ben's got lots of kids.
Yeah, he's got kids everywhere, lifting barbells, running around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So no, it's great. A lot of, and I think you're going to see now. A lot more on the women's side, that transition from
right.
being this elite competitor to mom / elite competitor. I mean, look at Val Vobrel, you know, she's, I like to call it
unbelievable.
Just mom strength. Like,
yeah, crazy.
You know, like look at Lindsay Valenzuela this past year. She's probably, there's probably been an up and down road for her. Obviously, she's very super happy, her and Arsenio with, you know, their new baby on the way, but part of it's probably been
her
hard for
her. When she was trying to get, when they were thinking yeah. about having kids, man,
it's probably been hard for her. You know, she's
yeah.
letting some of her goals go that she's been focused on for so long. But you know what? She'll probably come back just like Val. You know, where she just has this like mom strength, and she's going to be even stronger and fitter. And it's
Lindsay Valenzuela even stronger.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of scary.
I think it's
okay.
going to happen.
Yeah,
I think it's going to happen.
I do too.
Yeah,
I do too.
But we'll see. I mean, that's another cool side of the job that I have is for the most part, a lot of the athletes that we have right now, I was friends with before I got the job, so it really worked out, I mean, well for me. The job was tailor-made, but I think you're going to start to see that a lot more on the women's side.
Do you feel like it's cooler, like your job and being able to get to know the athletes and, you know, like we've been here for a couple of days, you kind of just in with Rich and just doing mm-hmm. whatever he does. I mean, is that cooler, or is it possibly, potentially, obviously cooler competing alongside Blair and I at this event?
Choose your words carefully.
Yeah. I know you don't want to offend anybody. We've already backed into the car a couple times.
I'm going to say it's all good. Like, what I really like to do, like, outside of just FaceTime and hanging out with athletes is, like, work on cool projects, you know, like, create cool custom things or support an event like this, you know, where, you know, you're immersed in the environment, you're meeting people that you never met before. Obviously, your friends and the athletes that we have, like Rich and you guys are here, so that makes it even better. And competing alongside friends and mentors alike is also awesome. So I would say I don't really have a favorite. It's all good. Like, it's great.
Fence post is right up your butt right now.
Yeah.
Sitting right on that fence.
Yeah.
Political
yeah.
answer, but no, it sounded genuine. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as, like, the future, right? Like,
yeah.
You guys have been – Reebok's been in the space 5 years. You got another five,
yep.
I think, officially.
Yep.
Hopefully that grows on. Mm-hmm. Is there any is there anything, like, cool we should be looking forward to from the company or from the relationship? I know, like, one thing I've noticed is it's kind of been like a rebirth of personnel at the company.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young, mm-hmm. Up-and-coming people.
Reebok, you're saying?
At Reebok, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's a lot of, like, ideas being thrown around.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably in the next 5 years you'll see essentially doing probably slightly more things that we're doing now, but probably better and more polished. Like essentially a refocusing on what our core competencies are, and where our strengths are, and focusing on doing things just better. You know, just all around, whether it's product or it's activations or if it's special projects around athletes or things that you see on e-com or like a customer. Just the interaction with the brand will be better, or whether it's on social or whatever it is. I feel like sometimes with so many things that are happening throughout the year, we try to do too much, and we want to do everything as best we can, but I think that what you'll see in the next 4 to 5 years is a little bit of a refocus on what we can do really well and just do a better job of amplifying it, and it's a more of a polished and higher quality effort.
Have you seen any athletes kind of migrate away from the brand since you've been there?
Like
other sponsors, or maybe you said like some athletes are having life changes, like having babies and stuff
yep.
like that. I'm not really talking about that, but
yeah.
you know, like the idea that there are other players in the space now
yep.
competing
for
the
sure.
same athletes.
Yeah, like in the end, what like I mentioned before is like we can only focus on things that we can control, and in the end, any partner that we have that decides that maybe there's some other opportunity for them that may be better, you know, like good on them. Like we're a big part of what we do and a big indicator of some of the partners that we have is you have to want to be a part of what we're doing. Like it doesn't matter what the level of support is, whether it's financially or with product or whatever the sponsorship entails. Like if you don't want to be a part of what we're doing, it's okay. Like if it's not a great fit, it's okay. Like go for it. You want to reach out to a different sponsor or something may be better for you, or you may find a better fit, then good on you. Like it's not the end of the world. In the end, the CrossFit community is super small. Like for me personally, you know, our brand will still support athletes that may go down a different path. It's because it's just business. Like it's not like I'm going to root against somebody or something like that. You know, it's, I'm still going to cheer you on at the event. You know, you're still a great person. You're still a great athlete. Like, my level of support may change slightly from just my job related if you're not a part of the brand. But in the end, if I see you at an event, I'm going to root for you. It's going to be just as if it's normal. You know, it's not a – there's no ill will whatsoever.
What is the old Be More Human movement or
– Yeah, so Be More Human is essentially our Reebok launched last year. Essentially our motto or our big campaign where, you know, I think that sometimes people focus on a lot of things that don't even really matter, and Reebok's goal is to just to help bring people back to the basics, right? In the end, their belief is that everybody can achieve their full potential through fitness, you know, whether it's mental, social, or physical capacity, and be more human just means just be better at everything, not just be the best athlete in the world. Maybe it's be the best dad. Maybe it's be the best at my job, or be the best sister, or be the best husband, be the best son, be the best daughter. Just be the best person that you can be, because we're all humans and we all have different things going on, but just be the best version of yourself.
Right. I mean, I think that's great. That's the type of message that me personally, I love to see, because it takes people's eyes off of just the performance mm-hmm. at the CrossFit Games, right? Yep. It's not just about how fast you can move a bar. It's like, how does this affect the rest of your life?
Yeah.
You know
no
what
doubt.
I mean?
Yeah, like how does being fit inside the gym help you outside the gym?
Right.
Right. You're in the gym an hour a day. You're,
yeah, what's
you have
the translation?
23 other hours yeah. outside of the gym. Yep.
That's very cool. I think what else is cool is just how you said that in the next 5 years, you're going to see like a, you know, kind of a refined type approach from Reebok. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like the life cycle of any business. Mm-hmm. It kind of sounds like it, you know, for me as an affiliate owner, you know, I'm approaching, you know, that mark, and I really don't want to necessarily do more. I just want to do what I do better. And mm-hmm. so it's just, I don't know how that sounds to you, but.
I'm always down for getting better at stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I just feel. I mean, this is neat because you only get that through the experience. You
yep.
know, you guys have been through this. You've kind of walked through mm-hmm. the trenches, and you've experienced everything. So now you're just trying to refine anything, get better.
Yeah, this podcast is getting better. All of a sudden, we're almost a year and a half in. We were at some horse stalls in Cookeville.
Yeah. yeah.
Just super high tech.
Yeah, exactly. Love
real techie out here.
Real techie. But the power cable's hanging from the ceiling, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. Before we go, let's talk about this workout we're about to do. And just
oh,
break
good
this
call.
Down.
Good call. So, yeah, this team of three.
Team of three.
JD, myself, and Ben.
Yep.
We got to do one of us is going to start off with 100 double unders and then 30 snatches.
I think 25 snatches.
25 snatches at 115 and then 45 chin over bar pull-ups.
Right.
That's going to be Benjamin.
Yep. I think most of our listeners will be surprised to hear that when they hear the next two iterations
yeah.
of the workout.
Because then it goes 100 double unders, 20 snatches at 135, and 30 chest bar pull-ups. That's going to be me.
So the weight goes up and the skill goes up,
yeah.
but the reps go down.
Right, but we're keeping Ben on the high-volume stuff.
Right.
He's a big volume monster.
He's a worker.
And then JD's bringing it home with 100 double-unders.
The bodyweight snatch?
Yeah, the 15 body snatches. Weight power snatch. I'll be full snatching everyone.
15 snatches at 155.
Single,
you better
baby.
Not be. And then 15 bar muscle-ups.
Yep.
So the heaviest weight, the highest degree of difficulty on the skill movement.
That's it.
We're giving that to
the weakest athlete.
Mr. CEO.
That's it.
We'll find out.
yeah.
I think she's going to be all right.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
First
right.
page, man.
Yeah.
First page.
First
That's
page.
It. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Jared. Appreciate
yeah, man.
It, man.
Yeah, dude. Anytime you want to come on, just fly out to Cali.
Yeah, just fly out to Cali
a
for a little
6-hour trip.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Could be another classic moment out
the
there.
Classic
in LA.
Nice. Remember, you guys, you subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Instagram at BTB Podcast. You can find Ben and I on there also. You can find Jared at JD Natural. Is that right?
Yep.
He puts out some good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a main goal of mine, but every now and then you'll see something random
some
come from me.
Some good sunglass style.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
White guys connect.
White guys connect.